You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Animatronic Dinosaurs. I am Allie Rosen, joined here by my new co-host,
Joshua Nolan.
And yeah, it's been a good summer. So you guys might be noticing that Matt's not here. And so what's going on with that?
Well, I am now taking over.
Yes, so Matt will be back in the springtime. He is in England right now. Hopefully you're listening to this, Matt. But yeah, Josh is going to join in now, and it'll be the three of us in the spring.
Yeah, I'm a sophomore, and I was here 2 years ago and missed Allie last year because I took a gap year, but now I'm back and happy to be on the show.
If for all of you longtime listeners would know, he was on the first episode of the show with Matt and I, and now he's back. So Josh, the question I have to ask everybody on the show is, what's your favorite movie?
Well, that's a very hard one, but I think one of that I always comes back to is Howl's Moving Castle from Studio Ghibli. That was one of the first movies that I was really wowed by, and so I gotta say that might be my favorite. Or I don't know, Avengers, the first one.
Everyone loves that. Yes, yeah. Studio Ghibli's done a lot of good stuff out there. Yeah. If you guys have not checked it out, it's kind of the benchmark when it comes to anime.
Yeah.
All right, so starting off our show, we have to talk about the sad news that hit us this week. Famed actor Gene Wilder passed away at the age of 84, I believe. Mm-hmm. So Gene Wilder made an impact on pretty much the entire industry with movies like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, maybe, yes, I believe it's Willy Wonka. It's not, they get the names changed. I don't want to mean the bad Johnny Depp one. God, no.
Yeah, it's Willy Wonka.
All right, yeah. So, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, The Producers.
Yeah.
Huge impact on it. Josh, what's your favorite of Gene Wilder's movies?
I guess I gotta say Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Blazing Saddles is it wouldn't say it put Mel Brooks on the map, but it definitely was, some say, his best movie to date.
Yeah, and it's one of the funniest movies.
Yeah, probably one of the greatest comedies ever.
That and Airplane.
But yeah, and it has the Waco kid. He really shined in that.
Yeah.
He never really wanted to do that role, though. He did it, though, because by doing that role, Mel Brooks had to agree to then direct Gene Wilder's movie, which was Young Frankenstein.
Yep.
That's my favorite Gene Wilder movie, and that's where I think he like truly shines. So he will he'll definitely be missed. If you guys haven't already, go check out a Gene Wilder movie.
Yeah. And also the AMC theaters, select number of them, are doing a Gene Wilder tribute by playing Blazing Saddles and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
So we might go check that out. I don't know. If you guys want. So me and Josh went out and saw a movie this weekend. What did we see, Josh?
We saw Don't Breathe, the horror movie.
Oh, yes. That fun time. It's getting close to the horror movie season. This was closing out the horror movies of the summer, which I was blown away by.
Yeah. I don't really watch horror movies, but this was really good.
Yeah. Don't Breathe is a thriller, horror thriller starring Stephen Lang, Jane Levy, Dylan Minnette, and Daniel Zavato. And it's about three, God, guess, young adults, teenagers, you can't really figure it out, who live in Detroit, and they have terrible lives, and what they do is they break into people's houses and just steal from them. And so they see this guy, they hear he's sitting on a lot of money, and so it's played by Stephen Lang as this blind army vet, and they break into his house, and then just chaos.
Yeah.
And that's where the name Don't Breathe comes. So what'd you think about it? Like, what are your...
Well, I thought... I came in and I was really scared because I don't watch horror movies, just period. But it was really well done. I thought it was very scary, skin-crawling sort of horror, and I really liked that. It wasn't scary Paranormal Activity type, but really made you question things.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. It's both, it draws the line in between kind of the horror thriller side because there's nothing really supernatural about it. Mm-hmm. And there is a twist in it. About halfway through, we won't spoil. It is incredible. You don't really see it coming, and no. It's really good. And
yeah,
one of the best parts is like in the opening. It's kind of like it felt kind of like, you know, in like old style plays where they kind of set the scene. So when they first break into the house, it goes up through the floors and like pans through these different objects, stuff that you will see later on, like a hammer or a gun.
Yeah.
And this is all set up really early. And so it kind of sets you up to expect all of these things and you just kind of wait for it. And I don't know, I loved that. It felt like it was very original.
Yeah, definitely.
This was directed by Fede Alvarez, who also directed the recent Evil Dead remake. Did you ever get a chance to see that?
No. I don't really watch horror.
It is very good. It's not for everybody because there are some stuff in it that it is one of the goriest movies I have ever seen. Not Don't Breathe, Evil Dead. Even though Don't Breathe has its parts, but really well directed. I'm excited to see other stuff that Fede Alvarez brings out. All right, so yeah, if you guys have a chance, be a good idea to go check that out this weekend.
If you want to be scared witless,
yeah, do it. It definitely rounds out the top the three horror movies that came out this summer. Speaking of this summer,
let's do top tens.
Well, first of all, how many movies did you see this summer?
I only saw 13.
13,
which is pretty bad.
Oh. You didn't get enough into it. So you got to get like...
I know. Yeah.
10, 11, 12,
I was working full 16, time.
At a movie theater, though.
That's true.
I saw 27. Damn. So just over 2 times the amount. So let's just start by saying, what were some disappointments? Because this was definitely a summer of disappointments.
Well, there were some disappointments that were still on my top 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad was disappointing.
But I still loved it. I'm a superhero movie guy, and I went in with not amazing expectations. I didn't expect it to be a Marvel movie, and so I liked it. It was fun.
But it's just sad because the trailers brought so much promise.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For me, is like I went in with low expectations because of the Rotten Tomatoes score, but if I'd seen that on opening night and not seen any reviews for it, I would have been incredibly let down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to let the reviews, like, it's not going to say that I'm going to not let the reviews affect it, but in the end, it was just not what we all wanted it to be. It could have been so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt about a bunch of movies. There were a lot of remakes and additions to series this summer that just sort of weren't.
I feel like there was a lot of number twos, like the.
Yeah.
Like Finding Nemo 2 or Neighbors 2 or.
Or
like,
the remake of Ben-Hur or. Now You See Me 2, Independence Day 2,
Conjuring 2,
yeah,
Ninja Turtles 2. Yeah. It was.
Although I haven't seen Ninja Turtles yet, so.
Nor have I. So, yes, that's another thing. We have not seen every single movie that came out this summer. So, if there's one that you guys liked, then I haven't seen Finding Dory.
I'm disappointed by him for that.
Yes, I know. I've kind of come to a point where I refuse to see any kind of sequel to a Disney movie. Every single one I've seen has disappointed me.
Yeah,
but in anyways though, so we have not seen every movie on here. I probably have not seen stuff on Josh's list, and he has not seen stuff on my list. Definitely, there's definitely some that we are counting the summer as May till August, so that excludes stuff like Jungle
Book.
Don't
Breathe though is still
Don't Breathe. Don't Breathe came out in the summer, but Jungle Book did not. Sing Street did not, even though its European release was during the summer. However. We're basically the benchmark is Civil War and on.
Yeah.
All right. So with that started, do you have any honorable mentions?
Yeah. So Now You See Me 2, it was very disappointing, but I love the first one, and I went in expecting, the second one's not gonna be as good, but it's gonna have a lot of the same fun stuff going on. And so it was fun. Also the Star Trek Beyond movie.
Didn't make your list?
Didn't make my list.
We'll definitely be talking about that soon. Yeah. So that's another thing, is if you or I have something higher up on our list, we'll just say, hey, it's higher up on my list, and then we'll wait to talk about it till then.
Yep. And then also Finding Dory.
Finding Dory made your honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
my honorable mentions list is a little long.
Well, also, mine is preference towards superhero movies. I was just feeling them this summer.
I was not. Though, some honorable mentions I have. Jason Bourne, not the movie itself, but that final car chase scene, that deserves an honorable mention.
I haven't seen it yet, but...
The final car chase scene, that deserves an honorable mention by itself. One of the craziest actions, probably the best action sequence I've seen this summer. It's so good. I would give another honorable mention to Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Oh.
Was not expecting liking that as much as I did. another one to Lights Out. I really liked it, but I didn't like it enough. Another one to Purge Election Year. I always say if there was a horror franchise, a really bad one that came out every single year, and it had to choose between like anything and then The Purge, I would totally take The Purge because it's fun. Mm-hmm. And then final honorable mention, this is not a good movie, but Nine Lives was one of the greatest theater going experiences of the year. That movie was so bad, but it's hilarious.
Yeah. I kind of want to see that just to see it.
It's one of those ones you got to see to believe. It is such a mess. Kevin Spacey as a cat who's turned into a cat by Christopher Walken. It deals with stuff like alcohol and attempted murder and suicide, all in a kid's movie about a talking cat. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. All right, let's start it out. What's your number 10, Josh?
All right, my number 10 is X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men Apocalypse. This did not make my list.
I liked it. I love the X-Men movies. I went into Apocalypse expecting that. I really loved Days of Future Past, but I knew Apocalypse, it couldn't have the same sort of feel as Days of Future Past because Days of Future Past was it was different from all the other movies, whereas Apocalypse was just, oh, there's a bad guy, we're fighting him. And so it was epic, it was awesome, but it wasn't amazing.
I feel like Apocalypse had its moments. I have to admit I fell asleep during the movie, which is kind of my nail in the coffin for most movies. But Apocalypse had its places, especially the scene with the scene with Magneto. That was incredible.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That one made me made my skin crawl. Think anytime that we have Magneto or Professor X, it's always gonna be good.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you can't, it's also made my top 10 purely on the fact that the Quicksilver scene was in it.
Oh my god. Quicksilver steals the show anytime he's ever in one of those movies.
I don't think they're gonna be able to do another X-Men where they don't have a Quicksilver scene.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those things that you're just gonna assume.
Yeah.
However, one of my big issues with Apocalypse was, where are they going from here?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, so Days of Future Past happened, and at the end of that movie you can see Logan goes forward and then stuff happens, some people come back who were dead, but then they go to X-Men Apocalypse, which would have been in the past because it's younger versions of them. So is it a multiverse sort of thing going on?
It's getting really confusing.
Yeah.
I feel like, so now they've introduced Jean Grey and they've introduced Cyclops, but so that we're starting to see in Storm, and we're starting to see the main X-Men cast form. Yeah. So, but like, where do they go? I mean, we're going to see Wolverine 3 is coming out, and that's supposed to be the Old Man Logan story.
I'm so excited for that.
That looks good. It's going to have an R rating. We'll definitely be talking about that once it comes around. But where's the next one? I think they said the next one's going to be set, is it the 80s or the 90s?
Something like that, yeah.
They're moving through the generations. They're going to get older. Yeah. I think they are definitely, seems like they're rotating out the old cast now for good.
Yeah.
I think they're going to stick with the new cast now.
Yeah. Although that one Wolverine scene was pretty hype.
I wish they had not spoiled it in the trailer, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But the Wolverine scene was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, also, quick plug. If you guys haven't looked up weird trailers on YouTube, you should definitely look it up. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but they did an Apocalypse trailer, a Civil War trailer. They're hilarious. Trust me. They're so funny.
I'll take a look at it. I have not seen these. All right, so... My number 10 is one we've mentioned earlier, Star Trek Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I was not blown away by this. I had not seen the first two in a while before it, and then I saw this one, and I wanted to revisit the first two.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like on a second viewing, this would probably be better.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah, I only saw one half of Into Darkness, and so I don't know. I feel like you have to watch Star Trek, and I saw the old ones, like the first generation, but I haven't seen them in forever. And so I think if I rewatch all the old ones and then watch this, I'll have a sort of better understanding. But
and I think it still doesn't live up to how great the first of the new Star Trek was.
Yeah, 2009.
That,
yeah,
that Star Trek reboot was so good. Yeah. And I find myself watching it over and over now.
Yeah.
All right, number 9. Let's go.
All right, number 9 was Suicide Squad.
Oh, it made your list.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. It was just, I was very disappointed by it, but it was also, it wasn't as bad as some of the other DC movies. So I thought it was actually a positive for DC, even though it wasn't, it obviously could have been, they were trying to do an Avengers movie before they built up to it. And I think that was the problem. But I still thought it was fun.
I just felt the same issues with Batman v Superman. It had bad editing. It felt like the studio got its hands in too much.
Yep.
felt like it had great characters, but that was just about it.
Yeah. I really liked El Diablo and Will Smith's character. I mean, the characters were amazing. They didn't work that great together, but I think just the characters for me were, this is awesome.
Well, here's the big question. Jared Leto's Joker, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I don't know. I don't think I can give it one yet because we didn't see enough of him. I think if Heath Ledger hadn't come before him, I think he would have been, everybody would have been, oh, this is a really cool modern take. But with Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson even before him, they were so good. There's kind of no way to live up to it, so.
Yeah, I think Heath Ledger's put the nail in the coffin for Joker, and that we're just going to have to deal with Jared Leto's Joker from now.
Yeah.
It's just going to be that.
It's just going to be, I mean, I think it'll grow on, it might grow on us because, I mean, even Heath Ledger didn't get good, people didn't expect him to be good. And he was amazing. And so Jared Leto, they saw him a little in this movie, but I think if he has more of a role in the next movie, they can really expand on his character and give him more of a sense. Also, supposedly in the Suicide Squad extended, he and Margot Robbie's character, Harley Quinn, have a very different relationship than what's in the movie. And there's a lot going on there. So
I hope we get another like Batman v Superman extended cut kind of.
Because extended cut, Ali, have you seen that one?
No, I've been sitting on it.
Yeah, but it's a lot. If you've seen Batman Superman and weren't that excited, but you're a DC fan, watch the extended edition because it makes a lot more sense. It's a lot less confusing. There's more plot lines that are better developed.
It's just less kind of cut really badly.
Yeah,
like it's a exactly. mess when it got cut. Batman v Superman was a challenge to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my number 9 was something I was not expecting to see on this list. It was Pete's Dragon.
Pete's Dragon. Oh, I want to see that.
It was really nice. I was not expecting it to be like that. I've never actually seen the original. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard, they're very different movies. But I went to Pete's Dragon with no expectations at all, with not any low or high. I saw the Rotten Tomatoes score, but I mean, most Disney movies get that.
Yeah.
But it was, and it looked a lot at the original with the trailers, it looked like it was just going to rip off Jungle Book and it was just going to be in Jungle Book's shadow. But I mean, box office wise, it probably was in Jungle Book's shadow. Yeah. But it still was, it was a really nice one. The cast was what I think made it so good, is you really could enjoy the people who are in it. It had Bryce Dallas Howard and Robert Redford and a couple other people. Carl Urban's in it. I didn't like that. They made Carl Urban the villain. I couldn't see Carl Urban evil.
Yeah.
That made me sad. It's like seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger evil in Terminator 1. It's like, I really just wanted to be nice Terminator, not till T2.
Yeah.
So I was not the biggest fan of evil Carl Urban, but that's aside. He was a fine villain. I wish it was not Carl Urban because I like him nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, the special effects were really good. You believed it. And the dragon.
Did you watch it in 3D or no?
Nah. I saw it normal.
Yep.
Dragon's super fluffy. All right.
All right. My number 8 was Nerve.
Nerve. Oh, my God. This made your list?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I love Gamer, and I love...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It was just fun. I went to see it with a whole bunch of friends, and it wasn't very good. Sort of Suicide Squad, Apocalypse, Nerve. These were all... They weren't very good, but they were just fun to watch. I don't know. I just like fun movies that you don't need to think about that much.
Nerve's on my worst of the year list. I think so far it's my third worst of the year. Oh, gosh. Right,
what are the other two?
Oh, you have to wait till the end of the year to hear that.
All right.
Nerve, I think it was the moment when he said, you're trapped in the game now. When that line was spoken, I just looked at my friend.
Oh, that was so dumb.
And started laughing. And the whole theater looked at me really weirdly. And I was like, what? You guys can't see this line's really bad too.
Yeah.
So that was something interesting. I would strongly disagree with that one. But hey, it's your list. It's your list.
Yeah.
My number 8 was Popstar, the Lonely Island movie.
Yep.
I was not expecting anything good with that, and it was really surprising. Hey, that's Andy Samberg can carry a movie about him being a really annoying pop star, and it makes a really good commentary on how ridiculous the music industry is right now.
Yep.
But then on top of that, it also tells a really good story about friendship, which is not something I was expecting, and it's really good about what it was trying to say. And of course the music's hilarious.
Yep.
Expected from the Lonely Island.
Yeah. All right. Number 7 for me was Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh my God.
I love the first. Did you like the first movie?
I mean, liked is kind of a, it's I enjoyed the first one. I didn't think it was good.
Well, okay. Yeah, maybe my list is more top 10 movies I enjoyed this
summer.
That's
okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think... But... I enjoyed Independence Day Resurgence. There was good parts about it. I don't think it deserved all the hate it got.
No.
Especially people who saw it and thought it was just, it was trashing the old one. It's like, dude, we watched the old one.
Yeah. I also watched the old one about an hour before going to see it. And so it was just really fun to see the same character. I wish they had Will Smith in it.
Yeah, that definitely, it was missing something there. But yeah. I thought the leads were fine. I thought the action set pieces were fine. I thought it was enjoyable. It was a lot more of an enjoyable experience than most other terrible movies that
terrible
came out this
remakes.
Summer.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Ben-Hur. But yeah, I think it was, I don't think it could have been better.
Yeah.
I think it was exactly what it was. The only thing it could have had was Will Smith, and that's it.
Yeah. What about you?
Seven? Mm-hmm. Seven's a controversial pick for me, but I'm a defender of this movie. It's Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, okay.
Love the Ghostbusters remake. Everyone else does not like the Ghostbusters remake. It made not enough money, which makes me really sad, but I don't know. I saw it three times in theaters for a reason, and it was enjoyable. I love the cast.
How does it compare to the old ones, though?
Old ones, nothing. I mean, I've never seen Ghostbusters 2.
You've never seen Ghostbusters 2?
I don't plan on seeing Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2 was good. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was still up there.
But it was a rehashing of the first one.
Yeah.
Directly afterwards. I mean, I defend the original Ghostbusters is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know a lot of fans dislike this one. The one big issue I have is I'm drawing a blank on his name. Main guy from the original.
Oh, Ben.
Wow, now I feel really bad.
Bill Murray?
Bill Murray, yes. Yeah. Bill Murray's cameo was a challenge to sit through. If they had cut that out, the movie would be so much better. And his cameo slows the movie down. It's really painful to watch. Yeah. But I loved everything else. The special effects.
Special effects, yeah.
Best 3D I've seen since Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, that was very, very good. And
Talking about Avatar, I'm still hoping they're doing Avatar 2.
Why? Those movies are really bad.
What?
I strongly dislike Avatar.
But it was so groundbreaking. It was
in special effects.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that was that beautiful. I watched that in 3D.
Ghostbusters was pretty good.
But there's nothing like creating a whole nother world. I don't know.
That's Star Wars did it.
Star Wars did, yeah, that's true. That's true. Anyway, all right, number six for me was Neighbors 2.
Neighbors 2. We actually just saw this.
Yeah, we saw this a few days ago on Thursday on the main quad at Lafayette. Surprisingly, there were a large number of people there, which made me very hopeful for our weekly movie nights.
Hopefully, if we start that. Still in the works. Don't know yet.
But Neighbors 2, okay, it wasn't as good as the first one. It wasn't even very good, but it was hilarious.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was, I don't think it was... It was okay. I wouldn't say it was a great movie. I don't know if I'd watch it again, but I'd only watch it again for the laughs, I think.
Yeah, it definitely was funny. It was funny.
It was so funny. It was very inappropriate also.
Yeah, there was some
there's some bad stuff in there.
We will not be repeating on air. but it's a worthy sequel.
Yeah.
I think it's no like Empire Strikes Back to Star Wars, but it is. It's a fine sequel, and I would watch both of them.
Yeah. A third one?
No, I don't want
them. I don't think they could retell it.
I think it would be a cash grab.
Yeah.
And this second one did not feel like a cash grab, which is what was good.
Yeah. I also liked it. It was empowerment of women and all that, which is...
Yeah, it had a good message.
Yeah.
A little too much of substance jokes in it for me.
Yeah.
But, it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number six is one we just talked about, Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe is number six for you.
Don't Breathe is number six for me. My top four are ones that won't change. But number six was Don't Breathe. I loved this movie.
Which we saw 2 days ago.
So good.
Oh, no, yesterday.
Yesterday, yes.
Yesterday. Whoa.
So good. I cannot even stress how amazing this movie was. Way to... The horror movies this summer between this... Another movie that will be on my list, Lights Out and Don't Breathe. It's a good time to be a fan of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Not so good if you're not a fan of horror movies, but still. Don't Breathe. Yeah, we already talked about it, so we don't have to keep going. What's your number five?
Number five is Central Intelligence.
Central Intelligence. I did not see this. What did you think about it?
I thought it was very funny. It was... I thought it was pretty good, too. And it was very fun because it it made you keep questioning which side The Rock was on. So there was a lot of sort of, I don't know, is he good? Is he bad? And it kept going back and forth. And Kevin Hart's in it too, which means it's going to be funny. There's going to be a lot of dumb jokes. It's going to be hilarious. But just the fact that Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson were in a movie together meant that it was going to be funny. It was going to be great. And the way they played off each other was fabulous.
So they did make a good group.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hopefully be seeing a little more. Would you be up for seeing more Hart Johnson? Hart Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you saw them at the MTV Movie Awards, they were the co-hosts. They were okay. They had their moments, but in this movie, they really worked well together.
Yeah, no, that's good. I definitely need to still see it. I was expecting them to be good together. I mean, yeah. A lot of people don't like some of the stuff Kevin Hart does. So,
mm-hmm. I think that The Rock was a little bit typecast. He was the agent with the the muscles and the brawn, but it was still fun.
Yeah. All right. Number five. Ooh, wow. We got to slow this down a bit. Number five for me was a movie you have not seen, I'm pretty sure at least. Kubo and the Two Strings.
No. No, I want to see it.
Oh, my gosh. So Kubo, if you guys didn't know, is by Laika. They're a stop-motion group. They did Coraline and Paranorman, which I got to see over the summer. And Kubo is a masterpiece. It should be winning. This should be winning best animated by far. Hopefully.
Even over Zootopia.
Yes, over Zootopia. Wow. It's Zootopia is a more approachable film, but Kubo should be the benchmark for how good animation can be. It is breathtaking with some of the stuff they do. This story is incredible. You'd think that with a place like Laika, it's like, oh, well, their gimmick is that they do really good stop motion, but they still have to have really good writers and really good character development. It's very interesting what they do with it. It felt sometimes kind of like a video game in a good way. These characters going on a quest, and there's really emotional parts in it too, and characters, and it's so incredible the way it looks.
Yeah.
So Kubo, I believe, is still in theaters.
I want to see it. I definitely want to see it. Yeah.
Nolan, you got to see that. But Kubo, there's a really good scene in it with this skeleton. It's a giant skeleton guy.
Oh, I think that was in the trailer, or at least part of it. Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, they show how stuff's being built. And so the skeleton one is this giant, 6-foot-tall animation. So I can't even imagine, most stop motion you think is the little claymation guys, and they bring the camera up really close and they think it's big, but this is scale.
Wow. So Kubo was fully stop motion?
Yep, fully stop motion.
Wow.
I think they actually were doing some 3D printing for it.
That's crazy.
But these movies, they take years. They take 3 to 4 years each. And so
it's so detailed. It's crazy. Especially I can't imagine that the monkey was stop motion.
Oh no, the monkey was stop motion.
That's crazy.
And they had really good, really, really good voice acting. The
Matthew
monkey,
McConaughey.
Yeah, and you couldn't even tell. Yeah. Me and my friends were trying to figure out who Beetle was the whole movie, and the very incredible. It's Matthew McConaughey, and in voice acting, I mean, he's playing the koala in Sing, and we have no idea how he's doing.
Yeah,
he definitely can. He do not hear McConaughey in it. And then Charlize Theron plays the monkey, which is perfect. It's exactly her character.
Yeah.
And it's just got really powerful characters and a really great message it's just really good. And there is an issue with kid appropriateness, though, because the movie does cross the line of, which is an issue I've had since being a little kid with most stop motion movies, like The Corpse Bride,
Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit, not really. But they kind of are these really creepy. It's what I didn't like Tim Burton when I was a kid. It's like, it's cute, but it's creepy, but. And Kubo still does that. There's the two villains, the two sisters push the limit for being a little too creepy for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I'm not really sure. I'm a big advocate for the fact that movies for kids need to be friendly to them. Like they need to have challenges that won't scare them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they push that a little too much in Kubo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kids, but kids should be exposed to how great this animation is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got, the music was great. I don't know. What's your number four? We're getting to the top
side. My number four, I think you've seen this. You've seen it. Was War Dogs.
War Dogs, yes. Oh, I loved War Dogs. What did you think about it?
I don't know. I didn't really know what to expect going in. My friend just called me and said, hey, let's go see this movie. And I wasn't sure what it was. But I knew it had Jonah Hill in it, and so I thought, oh, it's gonna be funny. And it was, but it was a really cool take. Especially, I love movies that are funny but based on a real story, and which this movie definitely was. I don't know. It was fun. It was scary. There's a little bit of, I don't know whose side who's on. Yeah. What's gonna happen? Yeah.
I think though, I went into it expecting a really comedic movie, and then my friend right before we watched it just said, "Don't expect yourself to laugh a lot," mm-hmm. which I think it was a misshoot when it came to the trailers. I don't think this was a comedy. I think it was more of a drama. No. And there was times when I was like really like heavy heart kind of a way mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the characters, they're really bad. Some characters are just really bad people, and you want to root for some of them, but you really can't because of the stuff they're doing. And
yeah,
it's just kind of hard to do. But I don't know. It's a very, very good movie.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of Miles Teller in it?
Miles Teller. I liked Miles Teller, and I know that's not a popular opinion, but
yeah,
I was really blown away by that. I think he wasn't as good as his performance in Whiplash.
Oh, well, yeah.
Whiplash
is fabulous.
Yeah, Whiplash is another thing altogether, but his performance in it, I really liked. And then Jonah Hill. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That laugh was so weird.
Oh yeah.
But I think he did it on purpose, and he got really fat for that role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jonah Hill was great in it. I think I like that Miles Teller was sort of, I don't know, Whiplash and this, it was breaking away from his like Two Night Stand sort of character.
Yeah, definitely.
So
he plays more of a really serious character in this.
Yeah.
And from the director of The Hangover. And so you walk in, you're like, oh, and they get a Hangover like movie, and then you don't.
It's also got Bradley Cooper in it.
Oh, so he was great.
Yeah.
You can really see that he's truly an evil person.
Yeah.
That, and like, I don't know, it kind of, did you end up seeing The Big Short?
Yes, yeah.
I felt some of those vibes mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah. Especially because that was also based on a true story, and it was funny, but it was also very serious, and it made you sad because of what was happening.
Do you think War Dogs will get the same Academy buzz that Big Short will?
I don't think so. Partly because, I don't know, it's kind of comedy, and I can't really think of a comedy movie that was just, it was comedy and drama, and that had such a buzz about.
But it was a lot like The Big Short, and The Big Short got, and I think this was more drama than The Big Short was.
Yeah.
And, but what would you think outside of that? Do you think maybe the production's not as good?
Yeah, and Big Short had, it was interweaving a whole lot of stuff, and they did it very well, and they interweave all these different stories. Big Short's just sort of you look at it from the big picture, it's just they're getting stuff, they're going, and it's just sort of,
I mean, War Dog?
War Dogs. It's just sort of one timeline, whereas I felt Big Short sort of jumped around a little bit, which I liked a lot.
And like, while War Dogs is something like we can kind of, is not something we really like can feel, but like Big Short was really like, this is something that we all went through, that the housing crisis,
yeah,
like,
exactly, really, yeah, deal. Yeah, yeah.
It's telling you like a, and I mean, yeah, and I think War Dogs though is still something that people should see. I think it's gonna be mm-hmm. one of those ones.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if people were talking about it come Oscar season, but yeah. I don't think it came out the right time for it either.
Yeah, yeah.
Nor did the trailers sell it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that made me upset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my number four. You ready?
Yep.
This might be the most fun I had in a movie this summer. It does. I think there's movies that were better than it, but I think it was the most fun I had at the theater this summer was at The Conjuring 2, The Enfield Poltergeist.
Ooh, okay.
Did you see this?
No, I don't watch horror movies.
Come on, though. This one blew the box office away for horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Conjuring is oh my God, is one of the best movies, one of my favorite movies ever. And The Conjuring 2 just surpasses that in every single way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's... there's just times in it. It's set in England, and you don't need to see the first one to get a feel for this one. But you do. It does have the same. It has the same characters, and so if you've seen the first one, then you'll have kind of a sense for these characters, and you'll enjoy them.
How do you think it compared to the first one? Like the first one. I mean, everybody loves The Conjuring. Everybody always talks about it. The Conjuring 2, I haven't heard as much buzz about it.
Well,
also maybe because I don't I'm not around like the horror movie people, but
the first one definitely is a better story overall. Mm-hmm. I think the first one's kind of a better movie. The second one drags on. It doesn't drag on. Sorry. It's long. It's at 2.5 hours. It's much longer than pretty much any mm-hmm. other horror movie out there. But the second one, however, tells a much more detailed story and has a lot more. There's a lot more of a. There's this aspect of whether or not the whole thing's real or not, because mm-hmm. the main characters, Ed and Lorraine Warren, can only really get involved if this is really going on. Yep. And there's other side plots to it. And the other thing was Conjuring 2 is a lot scarier than the first one.
Yep. Yep.
And the first one is still really scary, but this second one is. It might be because it's new and stuff, but it takes the scares to a completely new level where I was
yep.
closing my eyes at parts of the movies, and I've seen so many movies out there, so many horror movies. This one is up on near the top of my list for one of the scariest out there.
Yep, yep. And what about, I don't know, this summer was not very great for sequels.
This is the best one.
Yeah.
This is the best yep. sequel there was. It separates itself from the original. And yet also it's such a good second. I wouldn't say it's an Empire Strikes Back great, but this is one like I will be watching The Conjuring 2 over and over and over and over again. It's way better than Insidious 2 yep. was.
And you don't think it'll get old?
No, never will. I saw it twice in theaters already. It still scared me the second time, and it's not the first one, but it also is the sequel to the first one, which is mm-hmm. so like, and it's just enough of a sequel where you can watch it alone, you can like watch it without seeing the first one, you can watch it after the first one and get a lot out of it.
Yep.
It's so good. It's one I'm super excited for that it's coming out soon on Blu-ray, and I'm mm-hmm. gonna be watching that so much.
And so I know for The Purge, it was sort of exactly the same story each time, but they were great. This one was completely different.
Different story, and it didn't feel like a retread, which was, they didn't try to use the same scare from the first one. Mm-hmm. All the scares in the second one are really original in it. And there's one scene with this weird CGI character, which is kind of, I would say it's both, after the initial scare of it, it takes you out of it because it's like, eh.
Yeah.
In an entire movie of really great practical effects, there's this.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then why cannot talk about this movie without talking about The Nun? Oh, my God.
I don't know. Who's The Nun?
The Nun is this here. Let me pull up a picture of her for you. If you guys are listening right now, pull up a picture of The Nun from Conjuring 2, and you will see what I mean by this. It's so scary.
Wow.
That is one of the scariest things I have seen in so long. Just looking at that face, and it's, oh my God. I mean, that alone is what made this movie good. It's like, imagine if the entire first one was done as well as it was, except Annabelle was kind of the main evil about it. The Nun's as scary as Annabelle was, except The Nun is in the entire movie, and it just chills you.
Dang.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're giving it a spinoff. Don't know how that's going to be because Annabelle got a spinoff. I heard it's not that great, but it was definitely... Annabelle was definitely enough Annabelle in this wall. The Nun was kind of the entire point of The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
So making a spinoff of it just seems like kind of...
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it would be right, but we'll see.
Yeah. For this, I know... I mean, obviously, we'll talk about Don't Breathe later, but Don't Breathe was thriller, whereas this is more...
This is scary.
This is like the scary, scary type, yeah.
This is really scary. I mean, it's one of those ones that if you... This Halloween, if you really want to get scared, watch The Conjuring 2. Watch both back-to-back. I'm planning on doing that.
We should do that. We should plan that.
It's so, so scary. Mm-hmm. And I think that just the second one, the amount of stuff that goes on... Oh my God, I'm so excited to see it a second time because it hits you like a truck at times. It's amazing. All right, let's keep going. Three.
All right, my number three was Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man's higher up my list, but okay. So we'll hold off. My number three is The Nice Guys.
The Nice Guys. Oh, I haven't seen that yet. You haven't seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang yet, though. So.
Yes, but Shane Black.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to see more movies by him so badly. Yeah.
You should definitely watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. But so what did you think of, why was that so high on your list?
Nice Guys. Yeah. Start of the summer, I was really looking forward to it, and super surprising. It's so much fun just from the opening stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved all of the characters in it. I mean, it's set in like, I think it's I'd be really bad if I say it's the 70s, but and it's not, but it's really, it's like groovy. It really it's a really good...
Hey, you're right, 70s.
70s. So it's about the 70s porn industry. And it's a comedy about like a mystery caper. And it's... Yeah. We haven't seen a good mystery comedy in a really long time. And this one was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Nice Guys is going to sit on my shelf for a while. And I'm going to like keep watching it over and over and over again. And I don't think... Mm-hmm. It's one of those ones that when someone says, hey, you want to watch a comedy? I'll just hand it to them. Because it's... The Nice Guys is definitely one that I'm going to be remembering for a really long time, because
mm-hmm.
it's such a, like, it's one of those ones that most people are going to really enjoy, because it's not easy to predict. It's really like it keeps going and going, yeah. and it feels very smooth. The characters in it too, between Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, mm-hmm. they've shown some of the best I've seen from them in a really wow. long time. And mm-hmm. it's one of those ones where there's no part of it that I don't enjoy.
Yeah. I thought it was... I mean, it looked very funny, and I was going to go see it, but then I decided... So, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang's by Shane Black as well, and it's sort of a very similar, like, a murder mystery, and then there's a guy who's not a detective, but he pretends to be, and he pretends to be an actor, and it's Robert Downey Jr., and he stumbles into an audition after accidentally killing his partner, and it's so funny, it's so ridiculous, but it's really, really good.
When's it set?
I'm not sure.
Is it like, well, is it set in a weird period like Nice Guys is? Because Nice Guys is really set in the 70s, and they really at times beat you over the head with it. Like mm-hmm. There's like Earth, Wind, and Fire is playing at a party, and he brings in a carton full of Yoo-hoo milk. And it's like, it's really trying to be the 70s, and you can tell that Shane Black really enjoys the movies he makes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure when it is, but it's just set in Hollywood. And sort of, it's about the Hollywood industry.
That's Nice Guys is Hollywood also.
Yeah.
All right. We're getting into the tops here.
All right. So number two. Number two for me was Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe made it that high up.
Yeah. Well, okay. So for me, Don't Breathe was, and it's sort of, I saved this because it was like, oh, you know, it was a scary movie. But also, I don't watch scary movies. And so going into this, I was hoping that it wouldn't be like The Conjuring or something like that with all these scary nuns and demons and all that stuff. And it wasn't. It was a thriller. It could... The thing that was most scary about it for me was, oh, this could actually happen. Like, The Conjuring, I mean, if you believe in that, it's okay.
I mean, it is technically a true story.
But I don't know. Don't Breathe was just... It was insane. It was so much fun and so scary at the same time.
What do you think of Stephen Lang?
Oh, he was amazing. He was the old guy. He was horrible. He was just skin-crawlingly horrible.
Yeah. And one of the things I noticed is that times in the theater, I closed my breath.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how silent the theater could get.
Yeah.
It's sound mixing in it. That was something that I wanted to say. It's like the sound mixing in it is nuts. It's so well done.
Yeah. It was twisted and it had twists, which was... great. There were dark parts, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. And you learn something new.
And there'll be times when you think something's happened, and it hasn't. We're trying to not spoil anything, so you guys have a chance to see it.
So, okay, if you don't like horror movies like me, and you don't want to see Conjuring, go see this anyway, because it's really, really scary, but it's not... Okay, there were some jump scares, but it's not all, oh, jump scares, got him. It was more psychological.
A psychological thriller. And you really, like... In the end, like scenes in the end, you're just like, oh no, are they done? No, they're not. And they keep going and going. You're like, come on, come on. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah.
It's like, and there do warn, I'll, we will warn, warn you, there are some really disturbing stuff in this.
Yes.
There's a scene in particular where some stuff that is really bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of got to a point where, I mean, I'm not me, because like I've seen. I mean, I've watched Saw. I've seen so many worse things, and this there's a torture scene in it that is really pushes the limits sometimes, and it will make some people uncomfortable.
Yeah,
which I definitely it comes from a twist that is so good in a movie, and I haven't seen a good twist like that in a long time.
Yeah. So what was your number two?
My number two is one we just said, Swiss Army Man.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, I've never been blown away by a movie like this in a long time.
If you don't know it, it's the one with a dead Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano. And
sort of dead Daniel Radcliffe.
Sort of dead.
He's like vegetable, possibly dead Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, he's the Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, and he is used to help this guy escape. This random guy lost in the woods and finds his body. He's about to hang himself, but then he finds... Oh, no, he's lost on an island.
Yeah. But he uses Daniel Radcliffe's farting powers to get him off the island.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's this funny thing is, like, when they said it's screened at Sundance, within the first 15 minutes, when Daniel Radcliffe's character starts farting, half the theater leaves. And I didn't expect it. And then I went and saw it in theaters, and half the theater left at that scene. And they missed out because it has a lot more heart to it than people expect.
It's a really good story.
Yeah.
I was a little bit sad with the ending.
Yeah. What'd you think about it?
I don't think.
Without spoiling anything.
I wish he'd like gotten what he wanted.
Yeah. I think the ending, it ends like three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of wish it'd been a little more concise with the ending and kind of like realized it a little better. It's great though. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I need to see it another time. It's super weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah, word of the warning, this movie's really, really weird.
Yeah, so don't go see it with your mom.
I mean, I want to see it. I want to show my dad it.
Yeah.
But it's really, really weird. So go into it expecting the fact that it's going to either blow your mind or you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a guy in the theater at the end who said, well, that was the weirdest movie I ever saw, and then walked out.
Yeah.
But then... I was sitting with my friends and we were like, what? That was so good.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be decisive whether it's, I know some people love it, some people hate it. It's going to be, expect something really weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So number one, I think we might have the same number one.
All right. You can say it.
Captain America Civil War.
Yep. Absolutely.
We've talked about this on the show in the last episode, actually. This movie. Wow.
It was amazing.
Way to go, Marvel. Yeah. I mean,
Marvel killed it again.
I don't know how they keep doing this. I'm so excited to see this movie another time.
Yeah.
And
if you're at Lafayette, actually,
we don't know this yet. We'll tell you. We'll say this announcement next week if we.
Yeah, we'll do it next week if we're gonna.
But Civil War. Oh my God! All the characters get their own. I mean,
let's start with Black Panther. What do you think of him?
Loved Black Panther.
Yep.
Was not expecting to like Black Panther as much as I did, but. They definitely word of the wine, we are going to use spoilers for Civil War because we've already had spoiler discussion of Civil War.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, tune out for the next couple of minutes before maybe like 12:50 something. And then we will go off for a bit because we're going to spoil some stuff if you don't want to hear that.
Honestly, if you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing?
Yeah, seriously. It's already out on iTunes. And
yeah.
in Civil War. I mean, we've already spoiled it on our show earlier.
Yeah.
But Civil War is really, really good. The Black Panther scenes, I was expecting him to do a lot of stuff at the end that he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they get to the final fight in the snow base.
Yeah.
And I really like the way that he fleshed out his character, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, so now he's so just. He's a good person. Yeah,
you really feel like you're rooting. I mean, it's hard to root for a side in this one, but you really wanted him to achieve what he wanted.
Yeah,
but all right, other characters. Spider-Man, what'd you think?
Oh, Spider-Man was he was great. All right, so for Spider-Man, I love Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. I think if there's a Spider-Man for me, it's Tobey Maguire because maybe because he was the first one ever, but. I don't know. Okay, except for the web shooters. That was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the new guy is so good, and I think he's much better than Tobey Maguire would be for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, he's perfect in. Where he is. Marvel doesn't really have a young character yet, and they finally now have a young character, and they play on that so well in the movie.
Yeah. He's very funny, just like in the comics, which is what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm glad that they're taking Spider-Man into a completely new way now with him being young.
And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it again just to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited just for that reason, too. And I mean, that's just one part of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think every character really got its spotlight. Like, Ant-Man did.
Yeah. Okay, before we leave Spider-Man, Aunt May, I was disappointed by.
Really?
Not because she was bad. I mean, it was great. She played her well, but...
She's super young.
She's so young. And Aunt May's not supposed to be attractive.
Yeah, she's young. I didn't get enough of her to like have a position on that yet.
Yeah.
But she is a little too young.
Yeah.
But Yeah, no, Ant-Man's great. Everyone else was not expecting the giant man scene. I knew it was coming.
Oh, that was so funny. I was not expecting that.
It got spoiled for me in a Lego set that I saw the release of. So giant man was spoiled, but it was a really good scene. And
it was so funny. And I thought it was it was very interesting how they were fighting and they could have been killing each other, whatever, but they were making jokes the whole time.
Yeah, in the airport scene. Everyone talks about it. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Where Spider-Man stops Winter Soldier. He's like, oh my God, you've got a metal arm?
That's so good. The innocence of his character. And Winter Soldier in it, I think he's like the pivotal point of this one.
Yeah.
And I like him. And
the twist with the Winter Soldier at the end.
Oh, I saw that coming.
I didn't see it coming. I hadn't read enough of the comics to know that one, but that was crazy.
I mean, I thought it was kind of obvious at the start of it, but I did not expect that whole part of Zemo's plan was to show it to him.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And then, what'd you think of Zemo as a villain, though? I think that's a lot of what the
He was great.
Okay.
Because
I would think he was fine. I think he was just not as... I think he was better than all of the like, bad Marvel villains, but he's not in the A camp yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think we're going to see a good villain. I think Thanos is going to be a great villain.
I hope. They need Thanos to be a good villain. Otherwise, it's not going to be
Otherwise, it's not going to be taken seriously, yeah.
Yeah, and they really need Thanos to be scary and, like... Otherwise, we're just going to... That will be telling. If Marvel can't make Thanos scary... like they kind of did with Ultron.
Yeah.
They are not going to be... They're definitely going to lose fan base when that happens.
Yeah.
A lot of talk going around right now, though, is the fact that Captain America...
Yeah, Captain America's no longer Captain America.
Because when they said that when he drops the shield at the end after fighting Tony Stark, that's it. He's not getting it back.
Yeah.
So what do you think going forward with Steve Rogers not... None there? Do you think somebody else is going to take it up?
I definitely think somebody else is going to jump in. I'm not sure who... because right now the Winter Soldier's under ice until they figure it out. I bet they're going to figure it out. I don't know if they'll figure it out before part one, but the way to remove the mind block on him and being controlled. But I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be sad. I think it's going to be a great movie, but it's not going to be amazing because he was,
Civil War really leaves you with, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
Where are we going to go?
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to coming up Doctor Strange, which is the next Marvel.
Really good.
Yeah.
So, but we will actually probably have a review after that. All right. So all of you who can come back now, because spoilers are over. we have some last. We're gonna close the show now. So let me pull this up while we're talking. So the box office of the week, weekend box office. Let's see. So at the top was Don't Breathe with 15.7 million, which was that's good. We saw it. We said it's good. I think it deserves that spot.
Yeah.
It dropped 40%, which isn't the best. Second up for another weekend at the top of it is in its fifth weekend is Suicide Squad.
Still
at number two with 10 million. This is a reportedly bad weekend though for movies, despite it being Labor Day. It's like one of the highest grossing of this weekend, but this weekend's still like not good.
Yeah.
Number three, surprisingly, Pete's Dragon Takes Three.
Wow.
With 6.4. That is definitely interesting.
That's good, yeah.
I was not expecting it to be that high.
How long's it been here?
It's been in the theaters for 4 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. To go up to three.
Oh, what other kids' movies are out? Because I feel like that's sort of filling.
Pete's Dragon, Kubo.
Kubo is true. Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Secret Life of Pets is still in theaters.
I think everybody.
Finding Dory is technically still in theaters. Ice Age is in a few theaters.
Yeah, but like it's the fifth Ice Age.
Yeah, no one. I mean, Ice Age is another story. That's bad. We'll someday talk about unnecessary sequels. But number four was Kubo and the Two Strings. That's good. I would have liked to see it higher up.
Yeah.
I think they deserve it. It deserves more praise than it did. Oh, one thing I want to say about Peach Dragon, though, it went from sixth place to third place.
Huh.
Which is crazy.
That's pretty good.
Kubo was fourth, 6.4, that a 17% drop off, and then Sausage Party after that.
Did
five.
You see that?
I did. Oh my God.
Was it bad? It was good, or was it just?
I said on my Facebook page that I'm kind of upset at the ratings industry for not giving that NC-17 because it should definitely have been NC-17.
What was it?
It was R. But no one under 17 should ever see that movie. Wow. There's a lot. I mean, it was crazy funny at sometimes with like it was very on the nose with its comedy. It was very it was very smart with the stuff it said. It made fun of absolutely everybody possible, and people are giving it hate for doing that. It's like, really? Because it made fun of everybody.
Yeah,
like the bagel's Jewish and the lavash is Muslim, and they make jokes about
the cheeses, like,
I forget. It's either the German food is like Nazi-ish. It's really, it's like, it's very, very offensive at times. It swears all the time. It's nuts how much it swears in that, and it gets stupid at the start, and you're like, oh, come on. It gets kind of goes down, but then the ending scene is one of the most just over the top. It starts really slowly, like you think this thing's gonna happen, and then this, like, it just accelerates really quickly to something that just, like, my friend was scarred after watching the end of Sausage Party. It's crazy.
But would you suggest?
No. Don't see it. Unless you want to be prepared for that, don't see it. Okay. It's oof. All right, 6 was The Light Between Oceans, a new release.
Ooh, I haven't seen that.
Of course not. It opened this weekend.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But I've heard good things about this one. It's Fassbender and the girl from
Vikander.
Vikander,
from Ex Machina.
So that sounds good. I heard an interview with the guy who directed it, and it made me really sound really promising. Bad Mom 7. Other ones that came out. Morgan. Oh, what a disappointment.
Oh,
Morgan.
Did you see it?
No, it came out this weekend. These are the new releases.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? Come on, man. You're slacking.
So Morgan came out this weekend, opened at 17th, didn't even break 2 million in its opening weekend. That's sad.
What was its budget?
8 million.
Oh.
So that's definitely disappointing. And yeah. Does not, I mean, it's good that Don't Breathe went to the top, but like, I would have liked Morgan to get a little bit more. I think it might have been too much like Ex Machina for people to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes the box office doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. Is there anything else that opened this week?
Yoga Hosers, I think, opened.
Yoga Hosers? I don't think that was fully...
I don't think that was wide release.
It's not yet, but like, I don't know. That works, yeah.
That's the second Kevin Smith movie. If you haven't heard. The first one was Tusk. It's, you know.
I don't like Tusk at all.
You didn't like Tusk?
Oh. A movie on this list that if you somehow have a chance to see it that I've seen was Life Animated. It's a documentary about autism. I cannot sing the praises for this movie enough. It's not making enough money right now. It's kind of sad. It only made $581 this weekend, but that's only because it opened on 6 screens and it's in its 10th week. So obviously it's going down, but like, still, I would like to see, if once it goes on VOD, I think everyone should take a look at this. Definitely going to be talking about it for Oscars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. Civil War's still in theaters. That's pretty funny. Wow. Jungle Book's still in theaters.
Jungle Book still needs to see that.
I like how Civil War's only on 81 screens right now.
Where? It's definitely on the big Boston one near my house.
That's pretty funny. All right, so.
What about coming out next week?
Coming out next week is going to be Sully.
I think that could be good. If you saw Flight, did you see Flight?
No, I did not see Flight. No,
Flight was great. Sully's coming out. Also, When the Bow Breaks.
Oh my God, When the Bow Breaks. I'm not watching this. I refuse to.
We saw a trailer in Don't Breathe and it just looked.
I've been watching this trailer for a while now. I have no interest in seeing this.
It's very confusing.
Well, you saw the bad trailer. That trailer shows nothing about it.
Oh yeah.
But
yep.
Yeah.
And lastly, I think the Disappointments Room.
Disappointments Room is, and The Wildlife, another movie about talking animals. It's confusing because it's also called Robinson Crusoe. I don't know anything about it. Looks weird. All right, Blu-ray releases coming out next week will be Now You See Me 2, Money Monster, The Darkness, and Love and Friendship. You said you saw Now You See Me 2. Quickly, what did you think about it?
I liked it. It was good.
I saw Money Monster.
I want to see it.
It was, I mean, I saw it like last minute after seeing Warcraft. It was just kind of like, all right, I might as well because it was absolutely the only thing playing English and German cinema.
Yep.
So I saw it. If it's good, if it's on TV, watch it. That's it.
Yeah.
I would not like think past that. Darkness, I almost saw it for a review for the paper. Did not end up seeing it. I probably will see it when it's on for rental. So those are those. And then the digital releases we have X-Men Apocalypse, Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, Neighbors 2 Sorority Rising, and Free State of Jones. So these are not for rent, that's just for the digital releases.
Yep.
So yeah, those are out there. It's about time to finish up. Thanks, Josh, for your first week on the show.
Yeah, this is great. I'm looking forward to it.
So yeah, next week we are going to post on our Facebook page what the topic for next week will be. As you said, we have the top 10. We already just did the top 10 this summer. So next week we will hopefully, I don't know yet, we may or may not see Sully. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Maybe see When the Bow Breaks just to make a really bad review of it. But we will try our best to get a review in next weekend. It's not one of the big weeks, so.
Yeah. I do want to see Sully, so hopefully.
Maybe. We'll think. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, tune to our Facebook page. Yeah, thank you guys for listening. This will be recorded up on WJRH.org and will be up on the YouTube page. Mm-hmm. So animatronic dinosaurs. Yep. See you guys next week.